Yes, I was just looking out of my eyes, right? And because I've been speaking about it, that frame of reference came up, that what I was seeing was the past. Everywhere I look was the past. Now, just to enter that perspective with me, because all we see is what we have recognized, is what we recognize. And recognition is the past formation to keep the object, to keep the person, even though they may have aged since the last time you saw them, keep them very much the same person. Their character may have changed, they may have. I went to a 50th anniversary, a high school reunion anniversary, and everybody spoke to me like I was 18. Because that's the last time they knew me. And they wouldn't have, you know, there was no, it was okay. It just was like, whoa. It's just 50 years ago. But from the perspective of the past, seeing, okay, just see, look, everything you recognized is because of the neurological pathways of recognition. The ceiling, even if you haven't seen it before, you can still recognize ceiling from floor. Even if you've never met a person, you still recognize that person as a person, male, female, in some other context. And if you just look around, you see how held we're in, how confined we are by the past at all times. How conditioned the very way that we perceive reality. Now, maturity is not something you wish. It's something that matures, evolves on its own. But the way it evolves is by the willingness to see where we're fixed, where we are stuck, where we're imprisoned, where we're confined. Because the heart, when it sees that, can't tolerate it. It's fine as long as you live in here and this is the only perspective you know and nobody else is challenging that perspective and you can meet Harriet over the years and still know her and all of that. But when you realize that you're carrying that self and other imprisonment within our consciousness, and you see that we're not able to get out of it. Now, how you can arrange all of the different objects, but still they're arranged in ways that are recognizable. And that there's no mystery in this. It's dead. I'm painting an intentionally bleak picture because I also know there's a lot of joy and happiness in the objects that we find. But I want this particular perspective of the view to be heard and seen so that the maturity will be stimulated. So you'll feel the confinement of it and your heart will be is intolerable to that perspective. Because it's not confined. And when it feels confined, it says, something's wrong here, what's going on? It questions its way out of that confinement. So as long as we keep the heart at bay by keeping ourselves dominantly there, predominant among all objects, our heart is the size of the Grinch. Then it's okay. You know, yeah, it's a little bit of, you know. I'll go somewhere I've never been, like Paris. They speak different languages, different culture. That'll be great. You get there and it's all, I knew they were going to speak French. It's all within the, you don't get out of yourself. You never get out of yourself. Now what this does is, if properly seen and felt, because it's not scary. It's just confining. You can deal with all this. You can navigate it. You get pretty efficient at it over time. And you never lose the ability to navigate. That's a differentiation that has to maintain itself in order for you to live this on this plane of existence. But what happens is that as you mature and feel that confinement, because it is that, your intentionality becomes very exact. And the whole thing moves in accordance with intentionality. That drives the whole machine. That drives the entire system from beginning to end of awakening. And the intentionality then starts finding a direction out, a way to reposition itself. I'm saying this very poorly. And it's on course. It knows it's on course. It knows it's in alignment with something that will eventually provide a new vista. And it's willing to, as I've mentioned, it's willing to go anywhere in order to perceive again from newness. And just as I was reconnected with my line of thought this morning, it's contained within the current perception, there's both the imprisonment and the freedom within the same perception. It's just a different emphasis. Instead of the emphasis on knowing, which solidifies us as subject-object, the knowing of something and the knowing about me creates lines of definition. That's easily understood. We release the need to know everything. I don't know how else to describe. You just relax it, because it takes a certain tension to know something, because when something is known, we've excluded it from ever being anything else but what we know it to be. And that's a tension. That creates a tension. And so within each perceptual moment, there's a tension through the recognition factor. And so you say, okay, I'm just going to relax that tension. The fear of relaxing that tension is what keeps us tense. And the fear of that is that the world gets less defined by definition. Said poorly, but as accurately as I can say it, the lines get blurred. And there is the intentionality not to know, not to let knowing be predominant over the not knowing, because the perception is not knowing. The recognition is the knowing. And since they're both in line with one another and awareness is the Lord over both, it relaxes the need to recognize and opens to the unknowingness of perception. Where have we gone? Have we gone to pilgrim up to the Himalayas to some guru? We simply release the tension that has directed us to imprisonment. Now, a question I would like to give and offer each one of you that is a doorway out of this recognition is, what would I do now if I were not afraid? If I weren't afraid, what would I do? What would I be willing to do? Because then you see the next layer of where awareness has to go. It's to the fear of what I'm afraid if I do not recognize. We fear the lack of knowing means blandness, or where I won't recognize the picture of myself or who's standing in the mirror or anything. That's nonsense. It's just the de-emphasizing of one and the emphasizing of the other. It's not the forgetting of one so that it has no bearing anymore or is erased from memory. Recognition maintains itself. You're just not emphasizing it. How difficult can that be? It's the fear that makes it difficult. And as I do it, perception, raw, natural perception, is the sacred. Hardened recognition is the mundane. It's what keeps me out of everything, safely within myself and away from you. Perception doesn't do that. It doesn't have lines of demarcation. It doesn't have boundaries which have been imposed through my recognition, through my habit, through the mind's door, the conditioned mind's door. Okay. And as we relax, it can happen where suddenly recognition becomes perception. Now the thing white opens up beyond the past. The past is not influencing the perception. And therefore, if the past isn't influencing the perception, objects aren't objects as I've known them to be. Guess what rushes in? In that moment of hesitation. Whew. The infinite, my dear, the infinite. Because that's the natural state of things. Before we tampered, before we cemented reality to be what we've known it to be. It all opens up. And then we get scared. This is the way it usually goes, but not always. And we come back into recognition. Wow, that was something. I don't know what happened there. Now from recognition, I want to establish that openness. So I get back into myself as a separate object and do all the planning and efforting that I need to in order to, from what I think of and what the Buddha said, I'm going to follow that plan, that map, and come out of myself back into the infinite. You can't map your way out of this thing. There's no map to freedom. This is the Krishnamurti influence on me. For those of you who know him, he was a dear teacher for many, many years. Who I just realized I was still grieving. So you see, this is so simple. I mean, books have been written about it, lectures, you know, but really it just comes down to that simple willingness. Willingness, intentionality, maturity. to see the disadvantages of a world in which disadvantages usually mean I'm going to be depressed and despairing. So I don't want to look at the disadvantages. I want to see the uplift. I want to see, you see, that's it. No, what's it look like from both directions? What's it look like as a play field, objective play field? Because it is a play field. What's it look like as an imprisonment? Because it is an imprisonment. Which one of those wins out my will, my intentionality, my movement forward? That's why it takes so long. It seems to take so long. Because nobody's pushing you to do this thing. We're keeping ourselves stuck. We are the holder of the keys. We'd rather blame it on something. Or time. I'm just not ready yet. Blame it on anything, but don't blame it on time, because time never ends in the sense that you come to a readiness. No one ever feels prepared for the unknown. There's no preparation for the unknown. There's just the willingness. There's just the willingness not to stay where you are because it's not worthwhile. It's not beneficial. And then I don't care where I'm going, but it's got to be better than this. And it doesn't have that. I say it, it feels like there's some kind of begrudging going on and depression. It's not any, it doesn't have any of that. It's just the willingness of the heart to move on. Now you go to France and it's different. See, we have to, this will take me into what I want to talk about this afternoon, which is the here and now. Because if we really understood the here and now, you would understand exactly what I'm saying. That as time has less influence, I don't know whether to take you here or not. I've taken you so many different places. Another way of talking about just what I said is in terms of time, is feeling the burden of time. Which makes us, prepares us for an opening into the timeless. Because it's just not worth living in time. Not if that's the only place we know. Look at the course of human history. Do you think a new president's going to change that? Look at the state of the environment. How would that be different if we were conscious of the denial? Pretending as if the next century is going to be just like this one. We'll have new buildings, new plants. Yeah, I read about it all the time in the paper. Well, in the plan for the late 21st or 22nd century is this or that. No, plans for this are gone. We're going to be flooded. We're going to be desolate. See what denial does? Is it, okay. But we are, look, what our own denial, of our life, where we refuse to, don't you think that has the same effect in shorter duration? You see, there's a lot of ways you can approach intentionality and maturity to see the limitations of our life as we're doing it, but we have to open to being willing to be conscious of these things that we're doing intentionally to keep reality at bay. But you've already come in the door. When you came in the door, when you come to Sims, you're opening the door to becoming more conscious. And these points of reference, the difficulties of time, of denial, of recognition, that's what it means to move into the Dharma. It's not all pretty and light and joyful, and now I have a beautiful heart, and I'll just keep fanning that heart, and we'll have loving kindness, and everybody kind. Just be kind. Just do whatever you want to. No, it's not that simple. That's kindergarten. Be nice to your next door neighbor. Share. Now when we rub against the hard truths, of what denial and self-protection looks like at its deepest core, we wonder why we ever entered that door. And yet it's too late. At the same time we ask that question, it's too late. Because truth feeds upon itself. And once opened, it cannot be closed. It can be shunted away for a while as our life becomes more complex, but it can never be shut again. Thank God. Or there would be no hope. That's why you come back. And for a while, we can do it through, you know, just listening and, oh, that was a good tape. You should listen to this tape. And I read this book. It's a really good book. Or whatever. And the intellectual satisfaction that Dharma gives us can be satisfying for a while, for some time. And then it isn't. Because it's not getting in deeper. It's not coming into the bone marrow of our being. And truth can't stand to keep it out. The heart can't stand that. And that tension, as I mentioned, the tension between fear and discovery. Truth and fear. It seems like it's a very even battle for a long period of time. It's not. It's one-sided. Fear never had a chance. It may take a while. But it never had a chance. Okay, all.